be crystal clear here, and this is why I was split, because this is number four, be kind to yourself. People have a tendency to take it as, well, I was good because I did these behaviors and I was bad because I did these behaviors.
Yeah.
It's not about good and bad. It's about reality.
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up,
use their voice,
and make an impact in this world.
You're listening to The Weekly Parody.
Hey there, welcome to today's episode. If this is your first time listening, my name is Heather Parody. I am your host. I'm so grateful for you. We have a really cool topic today, one that comes up time and time again, not only in my tribe, but also just with me personally. Something that I deal with is not getting overwhelmed with all the big goals you have, all the things that you want to do, setting attention for what you want and clear vision, but taking tiny, deliberate steps towards that and accomplishing stuff, actually getting stuff done without losing your mind in the process. I don't know if you guys can relate to that. I am such a big picture person. I always have a new idea. I always have something going on. And it can get overwhelming and it can be very hard when you want to do a lot, even knowing where to start and then not being hard on yourself during the process. We have the perfect person to talk to us about this. It's Greg Clunas. You may remember him from one of our previous episodes where he talked about the process of building a business after tragedy. He lost his dad last year and is so gracious enough to share that process with his audience and earlier on our show about what it's like to navigate through something like that and still work and keep your head in the game when you're building something. Today, he's returning to share with us about not being overwhelmed in setting goals. He is the creator of Tiny Leaps, Big Changes, which is a podcast, book, and community dedicated towards bridging the gap between the knowledge of what to do and the act of actually doing it. So today we talk about tiny small steps, how those actually make the big changes, identifying what those tiny steps actually are. We talk about overwhelm, anxiety, and again, just not being hard on yourself, showing yourself grace, loving yourself in the process, because it is a journey. It is a journey, and we are all imperfect and all on it ourselves. Before we get started, if you would hit subscribe, whatever platform you are listening on, we are now on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you're listening, hit that subscribe button. And I would so appreciate if you gave us some feedback by leaving a review. So let's get into today's episode with Greg Clunas.
Now, you guys may remember Greg. He was one of our very first episodes of the relaunch. I believe it was episode 3 where he talked about creating content and building a brand after a tragedy. It is a powerful episode. Really encourage you guys to check that out. But in it, we talked about that you, when in your mid-20s, created a brand, Tiny Leaps, and a podcast that has done incredibly well. And it's centered around this idea of taking these huge, crazy ideas that we're super excited about, but also scare the crap out of us, and breaking it down into manageable, tiny steps throughout the day. And that's how you get crap done. Why is that something that you're super passionate about?
The reason I'm super passionate about it, Heather, is because it's not just about the huge, crazy ideas. The thing I say at the end of every single podcast episode, and I definitely mentioned it in the last interview with you, was that all big changes come from the tiny leaps you take every day. Every single change in your life comes from these small steps that you decide to do or decide not to do on an individual day-to-day basis. It reminds me of, and I'm going to butcher the quote, but the whole idea that the present is the only thing that exists. You cannot live in the future. You cannot live in the past. Today is all that matters, and it is all that exists. It's all we have proof for, quite frankly. And so if that's the case, then what you do today is the only thing that matters. And so the reason I'm so pumped about this idea, the reason it's so important to me, and that I wanted to get it out there in every possible medium I can, is because it is practical. It is something that we all control. We all wake up and choose our actions on an individual day-to-day basis. We can't choose what happens to us. We can't choose who in our family is going to hate us that day. We can't choose so many things, but we choose our actions. And if we can choose that, and if we can remember that we have the choice over that, then all of a sudden we have some degree of control over where our lives end up. And that control is what allows us to feel less stressed, to feel more happy, to enjoy our lives more. Yeah. Because stress and anxiety over the unknown is largely what creates fear and creates all of the negative things that leads to just not enjoying the life that you have.
How in the world did you come to this conclusion as a guy in his 20s? Going about life, doing your thing, where did this even come from?
So one of the things I talk about a lot on the show and in the book is that I do not try, nor will I ever try, to be a guru, and especially not in the personal development space. I just have no right to tell a 36-year-old single mother of three how she should live her life. Like, that would be absurd. But the whole thing started with a simple idea that I adopted from my parents, and it was never something they like sat down and taught me, but being an immigrant to the US, I came when I was 8, and seeing what my parents had to do, my dad's first job here was picking apples on an apple orchard. And by the time he passed, we lived a comfortable middle to upper middle class life. And he allowed me to go to college and have all of these opportunities that just would not have been possible had we stayed in Jamaica. And so seeing that journey firsthand, never having to go through it myself because I was shielded from it, but seeing what they had to do and the sacrifices they had to make and the time with them that I didn't get to have because they were making sacrifices made it crystal clear to me that it is possible to change your life. It is possible to go from point A to point B, whatever those two things are for you. And so if that's the case, and that's where the show started, is this understanding that it is possible. Yeah. From there, everything else I've added on top of it, everything else that it's turned into and the framework that it's developed into has come from being open to learning from others. And so the conversations I have on the show, the conversations I have with my community, the research that I've done, the articles I've read that go into crafting the episodes, all 315 or however many of them there are now, those all have contributed to shifting the way I see the world through this lens of, we know it's possible. What else needs to be added on top of this to improve the chances of it?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even give myself credit, to be perfectly honest, for any of it. A lot of it came from my parents. And then from there, it's been being humble enough to ask questions and not put myself above anyone else, regardless of whether they're a listener of the show who maybe hasn't accomplished the things they want yet, or the Olympic athlete that I interview. Whomever it is, they have something they can teach me. And so I want to learn those things and assimilate it into my own view of the world so that I can frankly make my own life better.
I love that. Now, what are some things that actually have made your life better? Like, when you got this realization, this idea, and you started practicing these tiny, tiny steps towards your bigger vision and improving and becoming the person you want to be, what were some of those first things that you tried and tested and that actually made a difference for you?
Yeah. And I mean, so there definitely has been, since crystallizing the concept, there has been a conscious effort to implement into my own life. But part of where it came from in the start was realizing that I had sort of already been doing it. Like everything I'd had in my life up to that point, from when I was in college and teaching myself web design to when I started my first business to the job I got right out of college to X, Y, and Z. All of those things came from these very tiny decisions that in the moment I felt were pointless. Like I felt like, well, this is a waste of time, but I'm interested in it, so I'm going to do it. I taught myself web design by locking myself in a room for a weekend in order to not even be able to build the project I wanted, just to be able to communicate with someone I was hiring to build the project I wanted. And that ended up being one of my most valuable skills. That ended up being the basis for me getting my first job out of college. That ended up being the basis for numerous brands and built businesses that I've tested and tried since then, because I had the skills to get it up and iterate quickly. And so that understanding of everything good in my life has come from these random little decisions that seem disconnected that now make up who I currently am and allow me to have the capabilities I have to take the actions that lead to results. That's sort of where part of where it came from. Since then, naturally, I have tried to look at my life in a very tiny leaps approach to things. And so on the show, I talk about what I call the six core areas of your life. So you have your finances, your fitness, your nutrition, your career, your relationships, and your emotional health. And my thesis, at least for myself, this is what's worked for me, is that these things will never be in balance. I do not believe in balance because, and the analogy I always use is if you're standing up and you have two legs on the floor and you're perfectly centered, your core is tight, like you're in balance. But if something is on the table in front of you and you want to pick it up, you need to reach for that thing or you need to take a step forward. In that action of reaching or taking a step, you are sacrificing balance for a moment in order to gain something. And so if you want to make progress in your life, regardless of what that progress is in any of these areas, you need to sacrifice balance for a moment in order to gain that thing. Now, that doesn't mean you let it fall apart. This is why you check in with yourself and rebalance. But it's important to recognize that it is impossible to gain anything while also maintaining balance. And so if you want to progress, if you want to accomplish your goals, you have to be willing to sacrifice balance for a moment. And if that means building systems, having the conversation with your significant other so that they're picking up a little bit extra, or like finding the support systems you need so that those areas don't fall apart, but you have to be willing to do it. Yeah. So that's a little bit of a sidetrack. But for me, I try to pick any of these areas, whatever my focus is right now, it is fitness and my finances, more specifically getting out of student loan debt. Those are the two areas that are most important to me is staying in shape, making sure I have the energy to perform every day, and getting out of that debt. And so I try to build routines and habits and systems around doing that. And that for me means logging into my bank accounts daily. And there's really no change, but it forces me to keep it top of mind. It forces me to consider what I'm spending. It forces me to make sure money is being moved into the right places. And when there is a change, it forces me to know what that change is immediately and be able to course correct if necessary. For fitness, that means finding what is the optimal time for me to get to the gym. It used to be in the mornings. Now, all of a sudden, I much prefer going at lunch, being willing to be flexible with those things so that I can get the goal accomplished rather than worrying about, well, this is the system I built. I'm going to be like super hardcore and never deviate from it. No, my life changes and the things I need change. And so therefore I'm going to be flexible with what I need in that moment. And if tomorrow it turns out that going to the gym at 9 p.m. is what works best for me, then I'll build my life around doing that. So it's really just identifying the things that I want for myself and trying to find those small daily routines or habits or behaviors that move me towards that. And not necessarily worrying about how quickly I get there, worrying more so about, am I doing stuff every single day?
Yeah. Now that stuff is simple, but it's not necessarily easy. And I think it's so hard, so difficult, even sometimes to do the small little things that we know to do, especially getting in a routine. Mm-hmm. What are some hacks or tricks or tips you have for people who are like, okay, Greg, I get it that I just need to change one small thing at a time, these tiny little things here and there. But my God, this is so hard for me to do. I cannot do it.
Yeah. So there are a few like things you can do to make it easier. The first thing I'll say though is don't beat yourself up when you don't do it. Like I am right now, like I mentioned, fitness is a big focus of mine. And of course I still screw up. Like some days I just don't end up going to the gym. The day flies past me and all of a sudden it's 9, 10 PM and I'm just not going to go. And I can beat myself up over that and be upset and make myself feel like crap, but then that's just going to increase the likelihood that I'm not going to go tomorrow because now I feel like crap about myself. So that's the first key is whatever your goal is, like, just stop beating yourself up over it. You've got the rest of your life. You are going to take more actions and you're going to be much more likely to do it if you are kind to yourself, if you choose to love yourself and recognize that you are human and therefore flawed. So that's number one. Number two, I'm a big fan of two particular things. So the first is habit stacking. And so for those of you who aren't familiar, habit stacking is taking an existing routine or habit and putting a new activity either before or after it in order to use the momentum that's already there. So let's say the classic example is you already brush your teeth every night. If you want to start flossing, make sure it's done immediately afterwards so that you have the momentum of, well, I'm already here. I'm doing this activity. The floss is right in front of me. I can see it. And it's going to make it much more likely that you do it. That tends to work for like very micro level things. So the actual action of it from like a motivation, like get yourself pumped up to do it point of view. So things like going to the gym where you actually have to leave your house and go and do it. I'm a big fan of surrounding myself with content. So basically drowning out any potential obstacle that might exist by changing the way I think about it and by just diving deep into gym-based content. So my Instagram feed right now is just all yoga people and kettlebell workouts and runners and blah, blah, blah. I'm choosing to curate content that supports the specific goal I'm trying to go for, because it's the same concept of you're the average of the five people you spend time with. Mm-hmm. If social media is the one friend you're actually spending a ton of time with, then you can choose what content is getting to you. And you can change that content based on the goal that you currently have. So fitness is a big one for that for me right now. But I'm also, as it relates to my business, I'm choosing to prioritize Facebook ads in 2019. And so right now, the only podcasts, the only YouTube videos, the only like visual and audio content that I'm consuming is related to Facebook ads. And that is forcing it to stay top of mind. And of course, I'm learning as I'm doing that, but that's not even the benefit. The benefit is this is my priority. And because it's my priority, it's the only thing that's getting in. And because it's the only thing that's getting in, I actually take the behaviors.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever, and this is very personal, but
yeah,
real talk, do you ever feel really overwhelmed with all of this? Not only do you have this online presence that you're building and having to produce content for, you have a business, you have clients, you're doing bigger picture stuff like this book and a launch around it, all of et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Plus just, you know, life, and you have a relationship and all of that. Do you ever just get overwhelmed with any of it?
Yeah, of course.
How do you feel it?
Not well sometimes. And I mean, Heather, you of all people know this. My strength is not in being organized. My strength is not in being a project manager, a person who can take all of these different pieces and keep them moving along in the most effective way. Mm-hmm. And so what I've learned in that is, if it's not my strength, like, yes, I should try to make sure that I'm doing as much of it as I can, but I also just need to focus on what my strength is. And my strength is the process of, this is the thing I want, here it is in the real world, and now we can iterate from that real life thing. So the building of a thing. And so what I try to do for myself is I have systems, I have processes, and I have basic things that I've set up to make sure that nothing important falls off the plate. And typically when I say important, I mean client work, like the people that are paying me, making sure that they at least are as happy as I can make them. From that, that means I have to be willing to sacrifice other things. And so certain activities just don't get taken. Certain things are half-assed more than it maybe should be. And that has to be okay.
Yeah.
I have to let myself be okay with that. Otherwise, there's no possible way I can do everything that I want to do. And by the way, it's better to do 80% of things like decently well than to do nothing perfectly.
Yeah.
So I would much rather have such a high level of ambition and tackle so many different projects that only 20% of them completely fail because I half-assed it, but 80% do great and fine, then never start anything because I'm trying to fit myself into this box of being a one project guy, which I'm just not. Beyond that, from like an emotional, like stress management point of view, I have had to double down on the things that really help me to relax. So video games, anime, books, time with my girlfriend, talking to my family, like all of these things I've had to really make sure are prioritized because they are important. And there was definitely a point in my life where I didn't think that, not that I didn't think they were important, but that I thought, well, I should just be going and using all that time to make business happen. And I was miserable the entire time. And so I've had to make sure that the time I'm working, I'm doing as best I can. And when things fall off the plate, it's fine. And I'm not going to beat myself up over it. And if that means somebody's feelings get hurt because they think I'm not prioritizing them, which has happened, I do the best I can to apologize and I do the best I can to show them that I respect them and it has nothing to do with them at all. It's 100% my problem. But if that means we can't do business together for now, then I have to be okay with that. I have to let that be all right.
Yeah.
And the minute I start beating myself up is when things start falling apart. And then beyond that, I need to make sure that every single day I'm doing something that is exclusively for me and exclusively for my mental and emotional health. And that can be as simple as texting my girlfriend and bitching about something, excuse my language. Like it can be as simple as watching one episode of a show that I'm super into. And I don't think those things are inherently bad. Like I think that there's nothing wrong with distracting yourself sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. The reason I ask you that, I know I have definitely felt that overwhelmed before. And I can really relate to the beating yourself up because I think that there's this persona that you have to have this certain attitude and way of going about things all the time and never be off your game ever. Like you're always 100% all the time. And I hear that too, where people are just apologizing and they get frustrated. And I think another piece to that is this sense of patience, this ability to be patient and go through the process without seeing results. And that's what's so hard about these tiny, small changes is it doesn't always necessarily, you don't see the fruit of it off the bat. It takes a little bit. Like if you are on a, you know, I call it getting rid of the soda. Like if you just pick one thing, like getting rid of soda, you'll lose 10 pounds in a couple of months if you don't change anything else. And it's a small thing, but you don't see that immediately. And that's hard in business. It's hard in relationships. It's hard in finances to do those small, tiny things when you're feeling overwhelmed and not getting that affirmation that, hey, this is working. You're not seeing it right now, but it's going to work. So can you just speak to the patience element that comes into play with taking tiny, tiny steps?
This is me being as transparent and honest as I can be. I can't speak to the patient side because I personally struggle with it, like really badly. I am not a patient person. I going back to the, there's a type of person who makes a great operator of a company and that tends to map with being more patient. And there is a type of person who makes a great visionary of a company and that tends to map with, hey, this is my crazy idea. Let's do it tomorrow. I am 100% on the visionary side. And what that means is sometimes I jump ship on a project or a different part of, or a different thing for my life that before I've even given it a chance to work. So if anything, the whole tiny leaps like philosophy is a reminder to myself that things sometimes just take time and that's okay. What I've found to help with that for myself is the time is going to pass regardless. So if somebody came to you and said, hey, if you start working out tomorrow, it's going to take you 15 years to get that dream body you've always wanted. Most people would say, screw that. I'm not going to do it. Like 50, I don't have 15 years to spend on this. But 15 years is going to pass regardless. And you can either be exactly where you are or you can be in a better place. And so whenever I do find myself for the most important things, things that are set in stone, like my fitness, like my finances, like my relationships with people, for those things, when I find myself getting impatient for the results, I just need to switch gears and focus on the fact that this time is passing regardless. I'm going to be 15 years older in 15 years, and I can either be in a phenomenal place financially because I took actions today, or I can still be crushed under the debt that I have. And the actions I choose right now are what ultimately decide those results. So putting that kind of like an incentive on it of I can screw myself or I can put myself in a great place, like that's my choice right now.
Yeah.
That helps me to stay the course when I'm starting to feel like, well, crap, I'm not seeing any results at all. Like the scale hasn't moved or my debt has actually increased because interest is ridiculous. Like whenever those things happen, it's like, okay, well, I know I'm doing the right things and I can modify my behavior and try to improve it, but ultimately I've just got to keep going.
Yeah. That's real. That is so real. Greg, where can people get a hold of your book and connect with you online?
Yeah. So the best place to go, you have two options. So if you're like, you know what, this Greg dude is dope. I'm sold. I want to go all in. I can go to tinyleapsbook.com. There are links there to purchase, pre-order or order depending on when this is released. And if you are on the fence, you're like, okay, he's got a cool haircut, but I'm not sure if I'm into him yet, can get a free chapter of the book. And it's at the same website, tinyleapsbook.com. So that's the best place to find out more information, learn more about what's inside it, who's reviewed it, what they think, so on and so forth. And if you just want to connect with me directly, the best place is on Instagram. So at Greg Clunas, I respond to every single DM. Just give me a follow, send me a DM, and I'd love to have a conversation with you.
Absolutely. All that is linked up in the show notes. And guys, it's really easy to access these links. All you have to do on your mobile app is usually click details or more, and all the links are right there. So definitely check that out. My last question for you, let's say someone's listening right now, and I'm sure there are people who feel this way, like, Greg, listen, I don't even know where to begin. I want to make so many different changes in my life, physically, with my business, with my relationships. I don't even know which one to pick, where to start. I feel so much anxiety and overwhelm, disappointment in myself that I'm not where I want to be. You had to tell that person, take these three tiny steps right now. What would those three things be?
So the first thing I'd tell them to do is a little bit more on like the mindset side. So it's how they're thinking about it. What I would want to communicate to them and anyone listening is that success leads to more success. Progress leads to more progress. Something that I've been realizing a lot of is there's a reason that if we're looking at finances, like the rich get richer because money allows you to make more money. And in the same way, when you start to make progress towards a goal, it allows you to make even more progress because you are much more involved in that goal. You are much more focused on that goal. And so therefore, all of a sudden, the smallest thing that you did that got you to have that focus turns into now you're at the gym 4 days a week, and now you are paying 500 extra on your loans or whatever your thing is. So purely from a mindset point of view, recognize that any amount of progress you take will open the door for more progress, even if you are currently overwhelmed. And that's how the snowball happens. The second thing would be on that in that same vein, look for the smallest activity you can take. And this can be micro activity. This can be like, I'm going to open up a notepad and write a word on it. Like that, it can be that tiny. Because the goal here is you want to start gaining the identity of the type of person who does X. So if your goal is to go to the gym, if your goal is to start a business, if your goal is to write a book, you first need to be the type of person who goes to the gym, starts a business, or writes a book. Yeah. And there, it's a spectrum. So you are X percentage of this type of person. And if you can gain more percentage of that type of person, all of a sudden it becomes easier to take the action. So if you're at zero now, and the tiniest action you can take gets you to 0.5%, that's still progress, and you're much more of that person than you were prior. And that's going to make it easier to take the next thing, which gets you to a 1%, so on and so forth. So look for that tiniest behavior, regardless of how small it is. And for many of you, maybe that is ridiculously small of, hey, I've literally only got 3 minutes free every single day, but I'm going to use that to do a single squat. And for many of you, that could be, I have an hour I can carve out. And so I'm going to write 500 words every day. Like it's going to defer based on what your life is like, but look for that tiniest behavior, start adopting some of that identity. And then the third piece of it is to, and I'm kind of split here. Like I almost want to give four. Perfect. So then the third piece of it is to regularly audit your behavior in relationship to that goal. So what is it that you are currently doing on a day-to-day basis that is either moving you towards or pushing you away from? And I want to be crystal clear here. And this is why I was split, because this is number four, be kind to yourself. Like when you are doing those audits, people have a tendency to take it as, well, I was good because I did these behaviors and I was bad because I did these behaviors.
Yep.
It's not about good and bad. It's about reality. I want to make it crystal, crystal clear that you are not passing judgment on yourself in these audits. You are just looking at what does the data say so that I can make an actual change based on data and not on what I feel I did. And that's ultimately what's going to get you to move forward. So the more you're able to be kind to yourself in that process, the more likely that you are going to interpret the data accurately and not add emotion to it in order to make an accurate decision.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in unconventional leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.